This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
U.S. officials in Beijing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Steve Chiatakis. Top officials from the Obama administration are in China this morning. And at least in public, they're not putting much pressure on China to strengthen its currency, which could help level our huge trade imbalance. The Chinese are promising currency reforms when they're ready. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner spoke in Beijing today and pushed China to be more open towards U.S. companies.
Our common interests lie in supporting a more open global trading system with a fair balance of benefits and responsibilities in which countries are able to compete on a level playing field. Our two countries have benefited greatly from open trade and investment, and we welcome a more open China today.
U.S. and Chinese officials also addressed the ongoing debt crisis in Europe and said they expect its impact on the global recovery will be limited. Flight attendants for British Airways are on strike this morning. It's the beginning of a five-day work stoppage for one of the world's biggest airlines, and it could impact thousands of Americans flying in and out of London's Heathrow Airport. The union says British Airways is threatening to take away a key benefit, free flights for workers. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us now live from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Now, I read that more than half of all British Airways flights are still flying. How is that possible if they're on strike?
Well, because BA is taking a lot of measures to minimize the impact of this strike. It's leased a number of extra aircraft with their own pilots and flight attendants. BA has even trained some of its own ground staff to act as flight attendants. Don't expect anything more than a minimal service there, though. You know, no vegetarian meals, no mollycoddling. It'll be pretty basic stuff.
Basic stuff. I feel like I hear about a British Airways strike every other day now, though. Is there something different this time? Is it a new issue? What's the issue here?
No, it's all about cost-cutting. BA has lost $1.5 billion over the past 2 years. They're trying to cut costs and improve productivity. Actually, the main issue now, though, is the punishment that BA meted out to the flight attendants that went on strike in March. The airline suspended their travel perks, their access to unlimited flights for them and their families, for just 10% of BA's fare. Laurie Price is an aviation expert with consultants Mott MacDonald. He says BA was right to crack the whip.
You can't have an airline that's losing this amount of money and facing the levels of competition, the downturns in the market because of the recession, increases in cost without doing something. And I'm afraid the laws of finance and economics apply to the air transport industry and that in particular to British Airways.
Now, BA says it will restore the travel perks if there's a deal with the strikers, but not in full. And the union says that's not good enough. Some of the flight attendants live far from London. In fact, some of them live away across over the channel in France. They need that perk to get to work.
Must be a nice life, though. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Shares in Asia are mixed at this hour. Tokyo's Nikkei is down 0.25%. In Hong Kong, the Hang Seng up about 0.6%. In Europe, markets are down slightly. Friday, Wall Street rebounded. The Dow jumped 125 points after a pretty bad week.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at gotomeeting.com/market. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
If a golden parachute is not in your future, would you settle for one that's green and khaki? That's what a growing number of people are doing these days. It seems the National Park Service is the new it place for green jobs. And as Gigi Duban reports from the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, getting one of those jobs is no walk in the park.
Take me to the prettiest place in the park. Show me the best waterfall. Those are questions Carrie Jones gets asked dozens of times every day at Great Smoky Mountains National Park. The other question he hears all the time?
How do I get a job here? How do I get a job in environmental education or in the wildlife or helping the environment? Yeah, I hear that a lot. There's a lot more of that than there was, say, 10 years ago, I think.
Jones is a park ranger. He retired, then recently returned as a seasonal employee. As a ranger, he gets paid to hike through the woods, show people where salamanders hide, point out the difference between a black-capped chickadee and a Carolina chickadee. Not a bad gig. Jobs with the National Park Service have always been competitive, but recently the government agency has been flooded with applicants. In the Washington office alone, they're getting four times the number of applications than they did just a few years ago. One of those hopefuls is Jenny Bradbury. Bradbury is 25. She works at a real estate office renting cabins in nearby Gatlinburg. On her days off, she'd volunteer at the park.
It was really fun and rewarding for me. I feel like I learned a lot about the park and did some good networking.
It paid off. Bradbury just landed a job as a forestry technician with the Park Service. She has a degree in wildlife ecology, so for her, spraying plants and treating infested trees is exciting stuff. Her job is seasonal, so she won't have health insurance, and it pays just $15 an hour, but she says it's worth it.
You can make a difference, and it's nice to be outside and hike. I'm sure it'll be a lot of hard work, but probably rewarding work.
And for young people, rewarding work is what it's about, says Ryan Paugh. He's co-founder of BrazenCareerist.com.
They want a work life that sort of enhances their personal life, and they're willing to take a lower salary because of that.
For Jones and Bradbury, 6 months of seasonal work is still work. And when that's up, they'll both be competing for another stint with the Park Service. In the Great Smoky Mountains, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, the White House is getting a facelift. This weekend, construction crews will start the biggest renovation since the Truman era. Back then, the first family had to move across the street to Blair House while work was being done. This time, the Obamas will be able to stay put, but the estimated cost, $376 million, is more than 100 times what it cost to build the White House. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.